Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite, I chatted with CEO of Interim Healthcare, Jennifer Sheets. Jennifer and I talked about how COVID-19 has impacted the demand for home care, how hospitals can partner with the operation, and how new pursuits in healthcare will affect home care in the future. Hi Jennifer, thanks for joining us today.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So to get started, can you first tell me what interim healthcare is and what you do?
Absolutely. Interim healthcare was actually founded in 1966 as the very first home care provider in the country. Currently, we are the leading national franchisor of home care, hospice, and staffing services. We're a part of a global brand called Caring Brands International, which has more than 530 locations across the world. And basically, we kind of serve the entire continuum of care from, you know, pediatric, critical care, infants coming home from the hospital at day three through end of life and hospice services. We use home health aides, certified nursing assistants, LPNs, RNs, occupational therapists, physical therapists, social workers, companion care, supportive home care. So it truly is the entire continuum of care that's provided in the home and the community.
That's great. And again, you are CEO, correct?
I am. That's correct.
Awesome. Okay. And then as CEO, are you just kind of overlook, obviously, the whole company, but is there anything else that you'd like to share just about what you do?
So I play a dual role. I play the role of president and CEO of Interim Healthcare, which is U.S. and Saudi Arabia based right now. And then I also play the role of president and CEO of Caring Brands. So again, that incorporates about 9 countries across the UK, Ireland, and Australia.
Wow. Okay. Now, I know you mentioned before, which is what I was going to ask. My next question was, who does Interim serve? So you guys, again, you said you serve from infants to, you know, end of life patients, which is great. Now, if I could also add to that, I guess how accessible are you to your patients of those, I guess, in that big spectrum?
Right. Well, I would say one of the things that I'm most proud of with Interim Healthcare is that our name is synonymous with quality in patient care, wherever the patient is in their healthcare journey. So to kind of clarify your comment, our care starts with companion services, you know, picking up pharmaceuticals, helping with transfer and range of motion and activity of daily living, all the way through very intense critical care, ventilator dependent patients. So there is a very wide spectrum. I think that has been really from the beginning the differentiator in the services that we provide. The biggest challenge, I would say, across the home healthcare industry in general is always having enough supply to meet the demand. And so, you know, what we try to do is make sure that we bucket opportunities and clinicians or employees based on where their passion is. Some people truly have a calling, for example, to hospice and end of life care. So we want to use that person to the max of their, not only their job description, if they're licensed, their license, but also we want to connect them to what drives them and what's meaningful work to them.
That's great. Thank you. Now, to kind of get on the, you know, big subject right now, COVID-19, how has the pandemic impacted the demand for home care, and has home care seen a surge in patients?
Yeah, so I always feel a little bit strange when I say the positive out of COVID-19, but the reality is that the positive coming out of COVID-19 is that there is a much greater awareness of the value and the services that can be provided in the home. home care resources are in extremely high demand as hospitals are kind of pushing to discharge patients home. We've certainly seen an increase in the need for skilled home care, and that's nurse-led care. And I think part of that is because, again, the awareness is there to realize that the complex acuity that we can take care of in the home. So we've seen an increase in our hospital business and a large increase in the staffing side of a business. And what that is we would send supplemental staff into a hospital system or a nursing home or outpatient clinic when their resources really are strained. So we've seen an increase there. Initially with COVID, we saw, and I think this is pretty standard across the industry, we saw initially some decline in our therapy-led home health cases, and I think that was mainly due to cancellation of elective surgeries. If you remember right out of the gate, that was some of the hospital's response when COVID first hit, was to cancel anything elective. So we take care of a lot of, you know, knee or hip replacements, for example. So when those services were canceled in the hospitals, we did see a decline in that part of the business. As well as initially, I think when everybody was in the shock and the unknown and fear of COVID-19 when it first hit, certainly, we also saw a decline in some of the non-clinical side of the business where people were afraid to let clinicians come into their home. And a unique thing that we saw related to the improved unemployment benefit is we also saw when family members were staying home, they were able to provide some of those lower level supportive services. So that one kind of surprised me. It makes sense when you think about it, but that's the other impact that we saw initially. Like I said, now what we're seeing is there's such an increase in the need for our services and desire to have our services, along with some very real demand for staffing services, both supplemental COVID-19 testing sites, things like that. That our biggest challenge is quite frankly, enough supply of clinicians to meet the demand.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, definitely, of course, in this negative time, there are a lot of positives, you know, coming out of it, which is, I guess, a good thing. And that's kind of in life in general, any kind of negative you're dealt with, you know, you got to come out in a positive way. So, but for the next question, which may be a bit repetitive, how has Interim adapted or changed operations of serving patients?
Yeah, so right out of the gate, we did a lot to make sure that our clinicians, our caregivers first and foremost, were safe. I truly believe that caregivers are the heartbeat of any healthcare company, and it really is critical that we keep these invaluable, you know, frontline workers safe. So we did a few things. The first thing that we did is made sure that our clinicians were refreshed and comfortable with universal precautions. Nurses and caregivers are, you know, at the front line, and they have to exercise extreme caution, as they would with any patient with any potential communicable disease, and for each client and family that they serve. So our nurses and caregivers are trained to approach every patient as if they were symptomatic. So we did a lot of training around these are the signs and symptoms of COVID-19. You know how to take care of this. You know how to respond. It's the same way that you respond to the flu, to a patient back when we dealt with SARS and we dealt with H1N1 or a tuberculosis patient. So you know how to do this. Let's remind you and let's make it, make it easy to recall. So we created a lot of tools to help them, remind them how to don and to take off PPE, for example. We also invested heavily in personal protective equipment. So even before the CDC came out with their guidelines of what personal protective equipment needed to look like in the healthcare space during this COVID pandemic, we were already sourcing it. And so I certainly have done everything in my power to ensure that our caregivers are equipped with PPE to safely care for everybody at home. Our training includes observations of symptoms and then adding additional layers of protection as required. So we didn't want to overuse the resources that everybody was trying to get to, but we wanted to make sure that our clinicians understood when to add additional layers of protection. So, you know, I think recognizing the immense need in the industry in April, Interim Healthcare launched a site that we called ppeforhomecare.org. Mm-hmm. And the idea there was really to try to help source fair market priced, you know, essentials like gloves and N95 mask and gowns and thermometers. And then we quickly formed a team responsible for sourcing all pieces of PPE. So initially during the COVID-19 pandemic, personal protective equipment was really allocated to hospitals and hospital systems, which was a real challenge for us in the home care industry, especially since, you know, right out of the gate, the mandate or the recommendation was that hospitals free up their bed space by 50%. Well, the way they do that is to discharge those patients to home health care, but we couldn't get the PPE. So my thought around creating PPE for home care was, how do we leverage our collective numbers in the industry to get the best price and to make sure that home care clinicians, interim and beyond, are able to get the equipment that they need? A third thing that we did out of the gate to kind of take care of our clinicians is we expanded communication. So we launched an email address, COVID19@interimhealthcare.com, and we allowed our network to email us directly questions. We met twice a day as a senior leadership team, and we answered every question that came in. As of last count, we had answered about 380 individual questions. And we also expanded our scheduling. So we reconfigured caregiver schedules so that they would meet with patients showing signs and symptoms of COVID-19 at the end of their shift. So typically what you would see in home health care is you would assign patient visits based on geography, for example, right? So I would have not so much windshield time for a nurse is what we call it. So a nurse going from patient A to whoever's closest. We changed that with COVID-19 because we didn't want to risk a nurse taking care of a COVID-19 patient or potentially positive patient and then leaving and going into, you know, what I would call a clean patient.
Right.
So we moved all the COVID-19 patients to the end of the shift. And then the final thing that we did that probably is my favorite intervention is what we were really seeing early on with the questions that were coming in is we were seeing nurses that were really concerned about bringing something home to their families, right? I've been there. I've been on the healthcare front lines as a nurse early in my career, caring for, you know, individuals with contagious symptoms. And it's easy for nurses or clinicians to kind of put their own health aside to care for every patient. But there is this level of concern of what I might be bringing home to my family. So what we did is we created a toolkit and education for our clinicians about how to minimize that risk, right? So designating a hotspot where you undress before entering the home, how you bag your work clothes to go to the laundry room, how you wash them, all of that. And so I think that was so well received. And we had a lot of nurses asking if they could share with their friends from other companies. And so that, I think that was a very big positive as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It sounds like a great plan that you guys put along. And like you said, it's gotten great responses to the fact where, staff members and clinicians, yes, want to share that with other organizations. So now next, what role has technology played in getting seniors care as many self-isolate?
Yeah, so, we've set up a lot of new virtual channels to extend our employees' availability to clients, patients, and candidates through telehealth and other form of technology. Early on, the challenge was that telehealth or televisits really weren't approved for a lot of what we do in our space. So CMS, pretty quickly into the COVID-19 pandemic, loosened some of those requirements. So we use those to do things like patient check-ins. We certainly use them on the candidate side. We did virtual interviews, onboarding. We created skills clinics. So again, how do we allow our clinicians to dial into training? How do we, if a clinician's in a home and they have a question, how do we communicate with them, in a virtual environment? So we used a lot of those forms of technology. In general, I would say telehealth is vitally important during these times, really in all times, to keep our employees safe while ensuring that patients still have access to the care they need. The challenge that we had, and we still have in the home healthcare space, is that although telehealth was approved four things like a check-in visit or a virtual symptom assessment, it was not approved to count as one of our core visits. So that's something that we are still advocating for. In that environment, if you think about the reach, if it would count as a core skilled visit, a nurse could see, you know, let's say 5 patients an hour instead of 1. And so I think there's still a lot of room for technology to play a greater role, but certainly in the midst of all this, we have leveraged technology in every way we possibly can up until this point.
Okay, great, thanks. Now, as hospitals are seeing another surge in patients, how can they partner with home care?
Yeah, so, you know, as hospitals continue to see a surge in COVID-19 patients, home care has become even more important to support nurses and medical assistants in the hospital who need additional backup. And the reality is, you know, for more than 50 years, the home care industry has really stood at the ready. But only in recent months has it really become abundantly clear that home-based healthcare clinicians are integral to how this country can meet the increase in healthcare demand. And that's why I said earlier, the positive coming out of COVID-19 is that there is this increased awareness of the acuity, the skill set, the talent that we have in the home care space. You know, home care not only provides the care people need when and where they need it, but it's also the place that people want to be. It's the place that the virus, the risk of spread of the virus is most minimized. And quite frankly, it's where the outcomes are really good. And I am thankful that people have really started to recognize that. There are still many people that don't realize that home care maintains a high standard of clinical care and training that matches any hospital. You know, we do infusions, we do ventilator supported care, we do very complex procedures in the home. We're ready to welcome and care for individuals discharged from the hospitals in the comfort of their own home, which includes caring for patients with COVID-19 and patients in intensive care, or like I said, in need of ventilators or other highly technical support. My personal opinion, this is my soapbox, every time somebody talks to me about home care is, you know, now is the time for home care. We're working tirelessly to ensure federal, state, and local leaders recognize home care as a part of the solution. And I will say, I feel like certainly throughout this pandemic, we've had a very, very powerful voice and some great response. I'm really, really proud of, you know, kind of the gains that we've seen in our space from an advocacy perspective as well.
That's great. And like you said, it's definitely shown that, especially now at this time, how needed or how much of a necessity home care is right now. Now, next, interim healthcare is a franchise model in an industry that is in high demand, as we said. Are you seeing any growth in demand to start home care franchises?
We are, thankfully. Interim healthcare has really continued to grow throughout the pandemic. I'm very thankful for that. And we are seeing kind of increased franchise ownership demand from individuals, of course, as we typically would, but also from sophisticated private investment groups. I think especially groups that have primarily invested in other industries, so hospitality, restaurant businesses, are starting to say, I want to invest in something that's a little bit more economy proof. The investment groups are especially interesting because they see that sound benefit of purchasing interim healthcare franchises or our continued growth potential with an aging population. You know, when you look at just the trends in our industry, we kind of have a perfect storm going on where people are living longer, which is wonderful, meaning that they're going to have increased needs for care in their home. We're also seeing people discharge quicker from the hospital than they ever have before, right? So a procedure that used to take 4 days in the hospital, now people are being discharged after a 4-hour procedure. And so that is the second piece of kind of that perfect storm. And then the third piece is that because people are living longer, they're also living with and managing multiple complex disease processes at once. And so that's why it's so important to partner with healthcare. And that's what investors are seeing. So they're also kind of taking the expertise that they've gained from years working with other industries, which is wonderful to bring in that fresh perspective and applying it to knowledge, that knowledge to the home care space. So you get this perfect combination, this beautiful partnership of customer service, high quality experience, and then we teach them the home care space. And like I said, the two go hand in hand.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Now, to kind of pedal back really quick, just out of my curiosity, when we were mentioning PPE, there was a couple articles I've seen there that I've done where they noted that they really encourage the reuse of PPE. I just wanted to get your thoughts, you know, on some hospitals or other organizations reusing that, if you could share.
Yeah, I mean, we follow CDC guidelines, as do the hospitals. I think it depends on a couple of things, right? It truly depends on what you have available, how you prioritize what you have available. Certainly, there are guidelines around when it's safe to reuse PPE and when it's not. I think obviously best practice is not to reuse. It's certainly, definitely not to reuse in between patients. There are some guidelines around keeping patient-specific PPE, isolated Ziploc bags, whatever, and reusing on that patient. We do not reuse PPE at this point. And like I said, I think that behavior is really driven by what's available. What I would like to see is the entire healthcare industry has fought this battle, but you know, right out of the gate, PPE cost skyrocketed. And so when you think about the additional challenge that places on a business, I think those are the things that we could, you know, figure out a better way to, you know, we produce more here in the U.S. certainly, but then have some additional safeguards in place to prevent that spike and surge in cost, which again is why we launched PPE for home care, because, you know, we were hearing a discrepancy across our offices in paying, you know, an N95 mask, for example, and paying, you know, 70 cents for it. And somewhere else in the country, they're paying $7 for it. And so we really were trying to figure out how we can at least lead at the industry level and say, okay, let's collectively pull our voice together and try to drive down cost. But as far as reusing PPE, I think it's a slippery slope to go outside of CDC recommendations. Right. And then even within CDC recommendations, it's really important that you have a good process built for your clinicians and also training. Certainly lots and lots of training about how to store, when to reuse, what that looks like.
Right. Thank you. Well, that's actually all I have for you, but I was also wondering if there's any other additional information you have about Interim that you'd like to share, or possibly any predictions on how these new operations will affect home care in the future. So I guess two questions are.
I would say predictions right out of the gate. I think we're going to continue to see a couple of key trends unfold in the near future. First and foremost, technology. Technology will continue to unlock new opportunities for home care. We need to be focused on investing in and enhancing technology capabilities to break down barriers across the full continuum of care. You know, we can expect, for example, an increased usage of digital applications that help manage caregiver schedules and improve overall patient experience. Technology is also going to play a very big role in staffing and how folks recruit and retain the very best clinicians or caregivers or employees. And the other big trend I think we're going to continue to see unfold is really this generational shift in the decision maker. Millennials and Gen Zs will become the primary healthcare decision makers for baby boomers. These generations think more like consumers, and we have to respond. You know, they want an experience that's personalized and transparent and delivers great outcomes that they can readily, quickly see, whether on a device or on a website. And so in order to compete, I think home care organizations are going to have to recognize that shift and really will need to develop, you know, strategies to effectively reach and engage generations. So that would be my predictions. on the interim healthcare side, like I said, I'm very thankful that overall we have absolutely continued to grow during COVID-19, and most thankful that there is a renewed recognition not only in our place in the healthcare journey and the continuum of care, but certainly our value when it comes to being a part of the franchise organization and understanding that it's nice to be in a somewhat economy shielded business. So I guess those would be the two things that I would leave you with.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much again, Jennifer, for your time. I appreciate educating us more on this subject and just more on home care. So again, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Happy to join.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts, and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on MHE, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.